Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Car Wash the Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Matt DeWolf. And friends, this is the podcast that's going to make you a better car washer, and we hope at least a slightly better human being, because we all have room to grow when it comes to that. In today's episode, we're going to be talking chemistry a little bit, but we're going to go a little deeper than that, right? We're not just going to talk about chemistry. We're going to talk about the people behind that chemistry, what they do, how they grow, what they're looking forward to, and some of the trends that they're checking out in the industry today. And joining me to do that is Claudia Moldovan-Crea from Qualchem and Jessica Price Easter from Qualchem. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Are you all ready for this? We're gonna get into it here a little bit. How are you all doing today?
We're great. How are you today?
I am on the right side of the ground is what I think I'm supposed to say. I think that's the thing. Or, you know, insert your quip, right? Living the dream or some version of it. I don't know. Some kind of a dream.
That's right. The Razorbacks didn't play this past weekend, so the Razorbacks didn't lose this past weekend. So I'm doing pretty good for a Monday right now.
Oh man, that's tough. See, I had to watch the Chiefs just stink up the field with the Broncos. The Broncos are terrible. And so that was, you know, I'm coming at Monday with a little bit of angst, a little bit of anger. Yeah. About this week. Yeah. Well, we're not here to talk about that. We could. Maybe that'll be another episode. We'll talk about the impact of sports on our psychology and how we show up in the workplace. But I want to hear a little bit about Qualchem. So let's kind of start in the beginning, as they say. Claudia, can you kind of share where Qualchem comes from and kind of the backstory? It's a fun story, and I like for people to be able to hear it.
Sure. So Qualchem was founded by my father, Joseph Moldovan, and it was more so out of a need for what he felt was better chemistry for our own car wash locations. He started in the industry working for a different chemical company and formulating for that company. And after a number of years, decided to become an operator. And being on the operation side of the business, he quickly realized that there's an opportunity and to not only produce better chemistry, but also try to simplify things in the back room. So he created what we now know as the cleaning system, basically for ourselves, for our washes, to try to, one, have greener chemistry, better product, and less SKUs. Because he had so many other friends in the industry, so many of the others that he knew when they would come to our locations, which we grew to 13 locations at one point, had asked him, you know, what are you using? Would it be possible for me to try the chemistry that you're using? Because they really liked what they were seeing and the concept behind that particular product line. So Qualchem just kind of grew organically just out of other operators seeing the benefit to using the Qualchem system versus the traditional one drum product.
That's funny. That's such a stereotypical car wash story, right? It's like, well, I don't like what's out there. I'm going to make my own thing. Oh, my friends all want to use it too. So I guess, I'll sell it to them. Why not? Well, I don't know that I know this story. And maybe this will be a fun one, but where's the name come from? Where's Qualchem come from?
So the name basically is a play on the words quality chemistry.
Okay.
So, our car washes that we had, prior to Qualchem was, quality scrub, car wash. So we wanted to still kind of continue with that quality branding. So quality chemistry, we shortened it to Qualchem.
Quality chemistry is a lot to have to say.
It's a lot.
kind of like our last names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm like having nightmares all over again. Here we go. I'm glad it's Qualcomm. I'm glad it's Qualcomm. Jessica, talk a little bit about when you kind of joined Qualcomm. You're coming from the operator, or you were coming from the operator angle too here. What's that like for you joining this company? What's the road been like for you?
Yeah, so my kind of relationship with Qualcomm started, 15 plus years ago. I, like you mentioned, was on the operations side of the business. I was a buyer for a chain of car washes. And we ended up bringing Qualcomm on as our chemical vendor. And as part of that, there was a requirement that, that Qualcomm had a representative in all of our locations once a quarter. And that ended up being Claudia and myself in all locations once a quarter. So, we chose to partner with Qualcomm because of the ability to independently, adjust your cleaning strength or power versus your foam profile. And when you're operating car washes from, Oklahoma red clay dirt down to Louisiana swampland, each car wash required a little bit of something different. So Qualcomm gave us that ability, and I fell in love with the company and the people starting then. And so when Qualcomm finally got to the point of needing a director of marketing to come on full time, I was lucky enough that they reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to come join our family officially? And I jumped at the opportunity. So I've been direct with Qualcomm for a little over 3 years and have loved every minute of it.
Well, now you had the fortune to come in when it was kind of, established, right? Like it was already, you already kind of knew about Qualcomm. Claudia, you started in the business, like a few years ago, right? Just a couple years ago, as your dad started this thing up and you're like, you're kind of part of it. You're kind of maybe not. Talk to me about your path through. Like, was there a point where you decided, I don't want to ever do this. I'm not going to be in this industry.
Actually, no. Well, initially my path in college was pre-med, in chemistry. And at one point made the decision actually almost at graduation that I did not want to spend another umpteen years in school to become a doctor. And had a conversation with my dad, which was somewhat difficult, that I wanted to get a finance degree and take another path. Ultimately, what ended up happening is I asked him if I could come home and work with him, which he initially said, I think it would be better for you to get experience someplace else and decide what you want to do. My mom and I ganged up on him, basically. And he acquiesced and he said, we'll give it a year. If during that first year, either you or I feel that this is not working, then we're going to part ways. Okay. So 1 year turned into two. And at the end of 2 years, he said, the amount of responsibility that you now have for the company, this is kind of your last stop as far as being able to get out. So this is the time for you to make the decision. Are you going to continue with this? Is this something that you want to do as a career for the rest of your life, or is there something else that you would rather do? Obviously I chose to stay, and here I am, embarrassed to say, 23 years later, still with Qualcomm. Originally, when I came on board, we were on the operations side of the business. So Qualcomm, was born 4 years after I came on board with my dad and with the family. Yeah.
Wow. Claudia, I didn't know that you started working at 5 years old. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, that's a heck of a road. I don't know how your dad convinced you that at five you were going to have a career in car washing, but here we are. Talk to me about that decision point, right? Like, obviously, you're working with your dad. It's kind of the family business. You are liking what you're doing for those couple of years as you're kind of learning all the aspects of it. Was that decision tough for you? Like, what were the things that you were thinking about then that made you think, yeah, I want to do this and I want to do this for a long time.
It was not tough at all. I really enjoyed the industry, everyone that I was working with, the variety of things that I was doing on a daily basis and the challenges those presented. I enjoyed doing all of those things. So really, there wasn't a question in my mind once I actually started working in the industry and in the business. There wasn't a question in my mind as to, well, is this the right path for me or should I try something else? It was great from the beginning. And then once Qualchem started growing as well, that presented a whole, you know, another opportunity, which has been absolutely tremendous. And so many of my close friends, my dad's close friends, our family friends, are people that we've met through the industry and through, you know, through the business. And it's just been, we feel very blessed to be in the position that we're in and to have the people around us that we do on a daily basis. It's really a phenomenal industry. And I can honestly say that even, you know, people that are technically competitors, for mm-hmm. the most part, if you ever need something, everyone in this industry is so welcoming and so willing to help that they're always going to be there for you no matter what.
Yeah, I love that. Jessica, does that pencil for you? Is that a similar experience for you?
Yeah, you know, I love, there's so many things to love about this industry, but the biggest thing is ultimately we are all family in this industry. And so the open doors to share best practices, even with competitors and wanting the best for the industry as a whole is something that I think, you know, everyone here shares. And it's truly unique. So you're never really on your own little island when you're here. You always have people that you can reach out to. And it makes for a really fulfilling and kind of friendship-driven career, which is great.
So what I'm hearing is that Qualchem is really about relationships. And obviously there's value in the people within the business, but those relationships with customers, potential customers, we'll call them competitors, but we just talked about how it's all kind of family anyway. Does that permeate your business? Is that kind of core to what Qualchem does and how it kind of approaches things?
Absolutely. 1,000%. We feel that we are a partner in our customers' business. So their success is our success and vice versa. Many of our products that we have designed and formulated actually came from a specific need that one of our customers had and asked us to focus on. And that's where especially a lot of the extra service products have kind of come from, not just because we wanted to formulate a new product that we would have one more thing to sell, but, right. you know, customers saying, hey, we feel that we would want to try something like this. Can you work with what you have or can you design something new? And that's, you know, that's really allowed us to bring some really great, innovative, fun products to the market and fill that void that our customers needed. I also feel that we're very different from the standpoint that our salespeople are not just salespeople. We also focus on the service aspect. So all of our sales team also continues to do the service aspect of the accounts that they are connected with. So that way they constantly have a touch point. It's not just a matter of, I sold you the chemistry and now you're going to see somebody else and it's going to be a different person every time delivering your stuff or doing your service right. calls. It's the same person that you're going to see, you know, on a regular basis and surely over a long period of time. And we've been fortunate that we've had a lot of our customers for, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You obviously build a really strong relationship with those customers.
Yeah, what I love there is that it's all sort of core to where you started, right? It's like, well, we developed this product because somebody had a really strong need for it. And that's exactly where Qualchem came from, right? Like, well, there was a need for chemistry to be done a little bit differently. So here's this thing that carries through today in the way you all do business. And I love that because it could be very attractive to say, I'm going to make a whole bunch of product that I'm going to sell to a whole bunch of people, especially as the industry has been growing the last several years. But you all have stayed away from that. So I admire that. I really do.
Yeah, we're not for everybody, you know, and we can't be all things to all people. But the customers that we are fortunate enough to work with, we try to be everything that they need us to be and make mm-hmm. sure that we fit that service component and everything else that they need. And that's one thing that from the very beginning, my dad found very important, and still it's at the core of why we do things and how we do things, and will continue to be a major focus for our company.
Yeah. Yeah. Jessica, I want to know, is there a favorite product that you like to talk about, right? From a marketing perspective, is there something that just gets you totally jazzed up? I'm thinking about these things that solved such a specific need for groups. And then it's like, oh, that's going to work for everybody. So let's start talking about that. Is there something you really are jazzed about right now?
Well, I have two separate answers, I guess, for you on that. One is a very selfish answer. And that is, yes, I love telling the story behind our nano gloss tire shine.
Okay.
It is something that, you know, every chemical company has a tire shine or two or three. And that was a product. Qualchem had a great tire shine, but being on the operating side of the business, we pushed Qualchem to provide a shinier tire with less sling. And they ended up developing this product, which is now NanoGloss, and is used, you know, across the country and loved by a lot of people. So, you know, talking about, it's not just coming up with these products because of a buzzword or, you know, a specific need. It's even taking their current products that are great, and they are allowing operators to push them in different directions that the operators need. And so that ends up kind of reinventing or redeveloping a product to be even better, that we can then bring to the rest of our customers. So, so that's my little kind of personal, product push with Qualchem, and it has a warm, fuzzy place in my heart. But you know, our entire Luminara line of products is something that, is so exciting to talk about. And it really isn't just one product. If you look at the entire process and the line, to be able to give a customer something that they can tangibly feel and not just see on a car. Yeah. So to watch that wow factor of, okay, touch the surface of your car before you go through the wash. Now go through the wash, having the Luminara process applied, and touch it after the fact. Those customers instantly are hooked because they can not only visibly see a difference in how shiny their car is, but they can touch and feel a difference. So they know that they're conditioning and protecting the surface of their car. So, you know, developing a product line like that has made my job easy because it is exciting to talk about being able to go, okay, we're not just, you know, noticing the little areas that don't have water droplets on them, but to be able to provide the wow factor, and adding NanoHex to that, mm-hmm. That series of products, we're now having, outside of the tangible touching difference, you know, our customers are getting phone calls from their customers going, it just rained and water was doing this crazy thing on my car. It was just flying off. I can't believe how the water's moving. So, so to be able to have those stories and those real impacts out there is always fun and exciting.
Isn't it fun how we're all really just like 10-year-old kids? I mean, like, oh, it's so shiny. Look at it. Look at what it's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, look, the water, it's beating up so cool. Look how it runs off like that. So we're such children, but that's okay. That's what makes it great. That's what keeps everything fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. So let's talk about growth a little bit, because I'm really interested in hearing kind of your all's approach to growth, especially because knowing that you are all so focused on those kind of almost like a boutique relationship, right? Like really making sure that you're a true partner along the way with your customers. As things are growing and as things are scaling, how is that evolving for you all? How are you changing or maybe not changing?
So I would kind of going back to COVID, I think that changed a lot of things for a lot of people. And I feel that we still tried to really maintain the focus on service and quality of products. And I know that a lot of companies went through a very difficult time with sourcing raw materials and being able to continue to provide, especially chemicals, to their customers. I have to give my team all the credit in the world that they really stayed ahead of that situation. And we were able to continue providing chemistry to our customers in a timely manner and without having to pivot to different products because we weren't able to provide the products that they were usually getting, because we were hearing a lot of that as well, that a lot of customers had to shift to other products that were similar because they weren't able to get what they normally use just because of the shortages for the raw materials. So continuing to have that focus and try to stay ahead of things is always very important to us. From a customer service standpoint, I don't see that there's going to be a lot of changes like in our business, because like I said before, it's at the core of what we do and we want to continue, if anything, to even get better at that. As far as other things, there's always going to be new products that we are going to try to come out with and certainly try to stay ahead of the trends in the industry. Instead of just following along with what everyone else is doing. Right. But I don't know what that will be at this point in time. I will say that I foresee that perhaps we will continue our green chemistry focus. So more of the new products that will come out will be even more focused on being biodegradable and being environmentally friendly, as well as helping to be friendly to, you know, all of the people that come into contact with them on a daily basis. So I think that's going to be kind of our focus, and potentially, you know, some of the changes, if you will be more towards a green focus on the chemistry, even more so than we have already. I know that we've, from a formulation standpoint, we've looked at some options to even try to be, for example, many drying agents have like mineral seal oils in them. And we've even looked at different formulations to try to eliminate that as part of the drying agent, because that, again, would be the next step to becoming more environmentally friendly for a product such as that.
Well, let's stay there. So environmentally friendly chemistry. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to show that I don't know anything about it. That's what we're going to learn today. So talk to me a little bit about what does that really mean? Like, you know, when you're talking about being a good environmental steward from a chemistry perspective, what are we talking about?
So, you know, formulating with, and I'm going to get a little bit, I guess.
More yeah, let's do it. Cool. Yeah.
So from a surfactant standpoint, for example, which is going to be the raw materials that you're going to see in a lot of your foaming agents, we use what's called linear chain chemistry so that the bonding in those molecules is a lot easier to break. So those surfactants break down, so they're going to be a lot more reclaim friendly. They're going to be able to biodegrade and you won't have such a difficult time with smell and things like that, that a lot of operators that are having reclaim units are dealing with. And then also too, allowing those to break down more readily also helps with when you're actually disposing them of them in, you know, whatever manner that you're disposing of them in your wash, whether it's a sewer system or so on and so forth, making them more readily biodegradable so it breaks down in a much quicker time period helps with when they are disposed of, so that you're not putting these in the sewer system or so on and so forth. They're already kind of broken down at that point. So that's one aspect of it. Another big thing for us is hydrofluoric acid. We do not use hydrofluoric acid in any of our formulations or any of the derivatives of hydrofluoric acid. Like some companies will use derivatives of that, which when they dissociate, they essentially form hydrofluoric acid in the used product in the tunnel, which interestingly enough, there's many municipalities that don't have regulation against using hydrofluoric acid, but it's incredibly dangerous for humans to be in contact with that product, and could cause loss of limb and, you know, and over time, it is a carcinogenic. Unfortunately, I know that some of the, you know, older operators in the industry, there are issues of lung cancer because we atomize so many things within the tunnel, and having these products in the tunnel, you're breathing them in, hydrofluoric acid being one of them, and, you know, causing long-term damage and potentially cancer over time. So I know when my dad entered this industry, the company that he originally worked for, before he went on the operation side, was using a lot of these harmful chemistries back then. And this was, you know, going back to the 80s. And one of the very first things he did when he started working for that company is reformulating to get rid of all of those things. And he's brought all of that knowledge and that same mindset to Qualchem. And we've had customers actually ask us if we would be willing to formulate a private label product for them containing HF, for example. And, you know, that is the one thing that we stand very strongly against. And we've told them, you know, our whole model is based on green chemistry. And even though it is a private label, it's not something that we feel is safe for the environment, let alone for your employees or our employees to be around, as you know, when we're doing the service component. So that's not something that we're going to be able to do. At one point, we did have several of our chemicals registered with the EPA as part of their Design for the Environment initiative. And that is, you know, a certification from the EPA for green chemistry. Unfortunately, at one point, we chose to no longer renew that, only for the reason that they changed kind of the process for recertification, causing a need to actually just fully disclose your formulations. So from, you know, from a intellectual property standpoint, we chose not to renew because we didn't want to have to publish our formulations in order to do so. But all of our formulas are still fitting under that standard. We just no longer, unfortunately, have the actual certification from the EPA.
Yeah, I mean, gee, Claudia, why would you not want to tell everybody exactly how you make your product that you sell?
Huh. I know, I mean. Gosh.
I don't get it, huh? That's, you know, that's another, again, another episode of the podcast, government and the things that happen.
Regulations, right?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, right? Like talking about HF and stuff, it always gets a little bit squirrely because it's like, it worked. I mean, it does work, but it's terrible. right? And so it's like, it's like, if you go back to the, you know, 50s, it's like, well, people were driving around without seatbelts and had their whiskey in their hand and a, you know, a pack of cigarettes. Well, now we know better. So
yeah,
do better, right? So now we know better, we should do better. I think that's super important. How do you, Jessica, maybe this is a you question since you're on the marketing side of these things. How do you convince operators that you can get the same results with chemistry that's a little bit more friendly for the environment, right? Like that's like a back here. It's like, well, why can't I just use the thing I know works? Why would I want to use something that's safer? I mean, this is a terrible thing to say. Why would I want to use something that's safer for my people when I have this thing that does a really good job on the car?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that talking on the marketing side of things, that's one of the reasons why we, you know, call ourselves environmentally responsible and not just environmentally friendly. It's more than just being friendly to the, you know, stormwater and what you're kind of sending out into the world. But it's also about protecting those that you're exposing constantly to your practices. And so a lot of times, you know, a chemical purchase is never a quick purchase. It's got its own unique sales cycle for us. And so it is a lot to ask an operator to look at changing what chemicals they're using. That being said, we try to make it as easy on them as possible. So, you know, talking about people with open doors, we have a huge family of operators that use Qualchem chemistry that are always happy to let people come in and see how they're operating and what their cars are looking like coming into the tunnel and leaving the tunnel. And so, you know, we have that as kind of the easy button of, okay, we can show you how we do things actually in the field with real people, but then we're always happy to come in, bring in our team, look at how to custom fit our chemistry to their operation, what their cleaning challenges are, as well as showing them the benefits to using green chemistry and safe chemistry. It's not just about improving the quality of car, but it gives them additional marketing messages that they're able to use to then sell themselves to their customers. So, so there's kind of a multifaceted benefit there for them that we help to educate them on, and we help to support them with their marketing and their signage and custom graphics and whatever else we can help them with from the operating side of things to help them make using our chemistry as successful for them as possible.
I'm starting to wonder, like, you know, for the longest time, consumers of car washes didn't really know any better, right? They knew that there was some soap that came out and there were brushes maybe, or maybe there weren't if they were a touchless kind of a wash person. But they just went to the wash and the car got clean and whatever, they didn't care. Now you've got subscriptions, so people are starting to feel a little bit more ownership about the wash that they visit. So they're a little bit more bought in. They're starting to wash more frequently, which means they're starting to pay attention, which means they're starting to notice these things. So I think that this concept of educating on the environmental responsibility side of chemistry, while we're probably not fully there yet, I think we're going to get there because customers are going to start asking those questions, I think, of today's operator. Are you guys seeing that?
Absolutely. That was one of the things that we really noticed drew a lot of people to our booth in the last couple of years since we did our redesign. And part of our booth had a major focus to showcase the fact that, you know, we are environmentally responsible and we take that very, very seriously. And I think that there is more of a focus. Unfortunately, to this point, I think a lot of operators, although they saw the importance of it and they wanted greener chemistry, they weren't willing to pay more to have that. But I think that that's starting to change. And whether it's because the operators are pushing for it and wanting it, or you know, I think in some cases it's more so they are being forced to by the municipalities where they're starting to see, you know, more stringent regulations as to what they are allowed to use and what is they are allowed to put back into their sewer systems.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably worth just making the investment now, because like we were talking about, right, it takes a little while to get things switched over if you're going to go make a big sweeping change like that in your chemistry line. So why just get it done? I mean, then you don't have to worry about it when things are ultimately going to change. And
when you're
required, you have to do it.
I mean, what is the cost of being shut down because you're using something that they ultimately come back and say, you can't use that in our municipality anymore.
Yeah. And you may not have much warning when that happens. It may be a bit of a surprise, friends. That's how these things tend to work.
The regulations in Europe have been this way for years ahead of what we're seeing now. And so much of our chemistry, because we do have a presence of customers in Europe, are formulated to those standards. So therefore, they're ahead of what the requirements are here in the U.S.
Well, you know, from a marketing standpoint, too, at least right now, while there is still people kind of in both sides of this fence, this can be a differentiator for you as an operator too, right? If you're the only one on the block that is doing things this way and you can talk about that and you can be genuine in the reasons you did that, that's going to translate for your customers. That's going to show up.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, listeners, we promise that this show will make you a slightly better human being. And I think we've done that at least a little bit in helping you understand that you should probably have safer chemistry in your wash. That will make you a better human, at least a longer living one, if nothing else. But I want to know more directly here. I'm going to ask each of you my favorite question, which is, what's one thing that we can do today to be better tomorrow? And this can be anything you want it to be. It can be about business. It can be about, I don't know, getting more sleep, drinking more water. It can be anything. This ground is wide open.
Gosh, there's so many things, right? I mean, I think all of us can improve on so many things. I think for us, a lot of times we focus on within our own team communication and being there for each other to help each other out. And I think that translates to business and to our customers as well, making sure that the focus is not just on our own needs, but the needs of others, and always being there to help when someone needs something else. I know, you know, within our team, yes, we all have our responsibilities, but we also wear other hats. And if there's a team member that needs a hand, I've never heard anyone on our team say, well, that's not my job. That's not my responsibility. Everyone is more than willing to help out to make sure that, you know, they are getting what they need, especially if, you know, as most people have periods in their lives where they're struggling, whether it's personal or from a business standpoint or whatever it may be. Especially during those times, we may need a little bit of extra help from others to get us through the day today. And I can honestly say that I've always seen everyone on our team step up to do that. Anytime someone needed a little bit of extra help, even if it wasn't part of their, you know, job description. And I think that that's something that we should all strive to do on a daily basis, whether it's, you know, on a work standpoint or, you know, personally, friends, family, whatever. I think that in and of itself just makes the world a better place.
Love it. Jessica, how about you?
What has been sticking with me lately, just coming out of the women's leadership experience that the ICA hosted in Chicago, is to ask why. I think a lot of us so often are habitual in what we end up doing and how we operate or how we wash a car or how we treat our employees or how we treat our coworkers. And so to really start being more observant and intentional in what we're doing and asking or thinking through the why, what can we improve? How are we doing things, or why have we started doing things a certain way? And to really think through those things. So that's what I'm kind of ending 2023 with, is trying to look at the whys behind, you know, things that I'm doing on a daily basis and that our customers are experiencing.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I love that whole concept of just not being afraid of questioning, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a way you've done it for a long time, but let's make sure that that's still applicable today. Like, it might not be. Well, I lied. That wasn't my last question. I do have one more I wanted to ask you guys about, because I'm curious what you're kind of watching the space. You know, we talked a lot about chemistry being kind of like having a little bit of an environmental responsibility toward that. We talked about your all's approach to kind of growth and just personal relationships. I want to know, like, what are you kind of watching? Like, what are you kind of wondering about, thinking about towards the future? What's on your mind?
Obviously, you know, how this industry is continuing to grow, the percentage of new operators, people that are completely new to the industry that are coming in, and, you know, being able to help them educate themselves and understand the industry, what is available to them, what is going to be the best fit for them. You know, as I mentioned before, we're not for everyone, but we may be a good fit for some. But there's so many different options in this industry. So, you know, that is one thing, the percentage of new operators, people that are completely new to the industry. And then also to kind of the direction that a lot of the consolidation is going to be going. I think people view consolidation as being a much larger percentage of the actual space than it really is. If you really look at from a number standpoint, the percentage of washes that are owned by the consolidators versus the percentage that are still individually operated and privately held and owned. Mm-hmm. It really is surprising, because I think the focus so much has been on, you know, PE and consolidators. But I think there are, and I know we've experienced this with a lot of our customers, a lot of the privately owned chains of car washes are still continuing to grow, and they are adding more locations, and, therefore, we've grown with our customers because many of our customers are in that particular space. So that's something that we're going to continue to keep an eye on. And like I mentioned before, the regulations with chemistry and continuing to try to strive to develop more eco-friendly chemicals as that continues to be more and more of a focus for a lot of municipalities. Is something that we're always going to be watching.
I really like that kind of reset of kind of what people are looking at in the industry from a consolidation perspective, because you're 1,000%, it's like the squeaky wheel is getting all the grease. Like, we can see what everybody's talking about, and it's the big groups. But the biggest group still, I think, is less than 4% of market share.
Yeah.
So let that settle in a little bit, right? That's nothing.
We're still very much in a growth trajectory for our industry. And there's, you know, there's lots of opportunity for new people coming in and wanting to be a part of this industry for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Jessica, how about you? What are you watching? What's on your mind? What's keeping you up at night?
You know, kind of piggybacking off of what Claudia said, I think the thing that's the most exciting to me right now is the new intellectual capital, the new people that are coming into the industry, and what they're bringing from an idea standpoint, a practices standpoint, you know, kind of blending the boundaries of the car wash industry with a lot of other industries and mm-hmm. some of their best practices. And so I'm excited to see the impact that those people have on the industry, and where we may end up going. They're a breath of fresh air for some of us that may have, again, kind of gotten into our habits of doing things a certain way. And so that's kind of what I've got my eye on, is keeping an eye on that and how to push the boundaries myself. So mm-hmm. how to think through the why and the leadership and the innovation and what you can do differently. So that's kind of where my mind's at right now. And, you know, continuing to not only grow this industry through the number of car washes that are out there, but through the number of humans that are coming in and joining our family. So that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's super fun, because you're 1,000% right. Like, there's going to be so much innovation because people are bringing this outside industry experience in and going, well, have you ever thought about doing it like this? Or why don't you do it like this? And those are sometimes questions that's like, well, no, I didn't think about it that way, because we always did it like this. Like mm-hmm. that was just the way. That's how so-and-so did it, and so-and-so did it, and so-and-so did it. But yeah, this fresh perspective is going to be super fun. I think especially on when you start thinking about payment systems and what's possible from a technology standpoint, and data and AI and all the buzzwords, right? I think it's all going to be super fascinating. So it's a fun time to be here, but it's always a fun time to be here.
That's right.
Yeah, it's always a fun
time. I mean, ultimately, we're all selling a warm, fuzzy feeling of a clean car. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
Again, we are all just children. It's our inner 10 and 12 year old just having a great time about a shiny car, a dry car, and an awesome experience.
Colors, yeah. Smells, and all colors, the things.
Yeah. All the senses, all the time. funny. Well, friends, I really appreciate you taking the time to share a little bit about what Qualcomm is thinking about, your backstory, and just kind of hanging in there with me as I learned about environmental responsibility from a chemistry perspective.
Yeah, sorry. I hope I didn't go too far down the rabbit hole on that.
I'll figure it all out later. It'll be fine. Awesome. Thank you.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.